what a joy today to be here for our Heart for His House Day. And I've just got some thoughts that I want to share with you. There are some really fresh thoughts in my heart, things that I wrote down this week as I was thinking about this house and personally what this house means to me. And how I want to talk about our heart for His house, but also want to talk about my heart and what I love about this house and our church. So would you reach your hand out towards me, please, and pray for me this morning. Father, thank you so much for this special day. Every day, of course, Lord, we're gathered in your presence, and it's all special. But, Lord, the focus of this day is special. And so I ask in these next few moments that I could take the water of your word and wash the feet of your children. And I pray, Lord, we would today be refreshed by the washing of the word. And I pray we would be blessed by the washing of the word. I pray we would be encouraged, Lord, and built up and challenged, Father, by your precious word. And so I just thank you today for this house, the gathering of this family. I just give you praise. Be with Carol, Lord, as she will be in just a few moments speaking there in Darwin. Bless the day there. And Lord, in Melbourne as well, in Phoenix, and where our locations are, we're just so grateful. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 122 and verse 1, we read this passage. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me a Sunday morning, get up, let's go to church. I don't want to go. You got to go. I don't want to. You got to go. Why do I have to go? You're the pastor. You have to go. The Message Bible says it this way. When they said, let's go to the house of God, my heart leaped for joy. I did not hit the snooze button. My heart, I did not think about how cold it is out there. My heart leaped for joy. There's just something about loving the Father's house. And I know, we all know, that the real temple is you, your body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I understand that. We know that. But buildings that have been set apart for the gathering of the Lord, throughout the scripture, they're special too. They're special too. And Jesus, when he walked there in Jerusalem, he loved the Father's house. He called the temple my Father's house. Imagine that. Now, he knew more than anybody. It was just stones. He knew more than anybody. It was just frames. It was just, you know, and yet he called it my Father's house. And so there's still something special, even though we together corporately make up the body of Christ and the church. There is still something special about a place that we call the Father's house, where the Father's children gather and where we congregate and worship. And so better than anyone, Jesus knew that it was stones, and yet we read about Jesus in John chapter 2 and in verse 17. Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house burns within me. Passion for the temple, passion for God's house burns within me. Jesus referred to the temple as my Father's house, and he loved it, and he was jealous for it. David too. David loved God's house. And we read in Psalm 27, verse 4, he said, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That's the New International Version. The King James Version says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his holy temple. Now compare David's longing and loving for God's house to the casual attitude that some espouse today, where love for God's house seems more of a preference than a passion, more of a fondness than a fire, more of a liking than a longing, more of an infrequency than a fervency, more of a habit than a hunger, more of a duty than a delight, more of a what's convenient to me instead of what consumes me. Passion for God's house. It burned within Jesus. It burned within David. The Bible says in Psalm 92 and verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, the Bible says you will flourish in the courts of our God. God's will is for you to flourish in your life, in your home, in your business, in your marriage, in your relationships, and to flourish, to feast, to fellowship, to fill up. This is God's will. Where does flourishing in life come from? Well, according to the scripture, it comes from being planted. It comes from being planted in the house of the Lord. And really, this word flourish has become my new favorite Hebrew word. Every now and then I'll take a word and do a little exegete on it and look it up, because I have a computer with a Bible program on it. You can do this too. But the Hebrew word to flourish is the Hebrew word parak. And listen, it literally means to fly. I love it. I love it. Listen. It literally means to extend your wings and fly. Those who are planted in the Lord's house extend their wings and they fly as they live and go through this life. They're not just creeping and crawling. No, they're soaring. They're soaring. There's something about being planted in the house of God that causes your life to soar and my life to soar. So I want to just share with you from my heart why I love our church. Why I love our church. I want to share with you 5 or 6 things that I wrote down this week. Lord, why I love this church. You know what I wrote down, number one? I love this church because of the people that are in this church, because of you. You make this church great. I've been in bigger churches, just not better. You have to trust me when I tell you this. I have been in bigger, but not better. No, it's you. It's you. It's you. You're amazing. You're precious to me and Carol. I love you. I love you. I love this house because you're in it. I love this place because you've made it your place. You and your children and your family, or even on your own, you make us better. We're a better church because you're in it. We're not a perfect church because you're in it too. Just thought I'd throw that out there too. We were perfect until you got here. Not true, but you, it's still you. How many know it's just a bunch of flawed people who have been forgiven? Come on, somebody help me. It's not, this is just a bunch of broken people that have been brought together. This is a bunch of broken people who belong to Jesus. And it's you, and it's me, and we're here together. We're a better church because you're in it, because you're a part of it. Your story, your journey, your path, what's brought you here, what's connected you in. Where you've been in your life and how you got here. There's just something about you being here that makes me love this place and love this house. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You being here helps us to be healthy and growing and full of love. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the part you have in our church. Your part is important. Your part is special. Your part is so necessary. You supplying your part makes us better. We're better together. We're better together. I love our church. I love our church. I have a heart for the Father's house. I love our church because you're in it. You're in it. The people is what make this church special. And secondly, I love this church because of his presence. And we have been singing about this and experiencing this in this wonderful moment of praise and worship that we've been having together. I love his presence in this place. His people are in this place, but his presence is also in this place. The Bible says in Psalm 95 and verse 2, let us come into his presence. We're not just coming to church. One of the reasons that the leaping of the heart happens when it's time to go to church is because we know it's not just the people who are here, but it's the presence of the Father. It's the presence of the Son. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that is here. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. I love that. Pray, you know, praise. When the people praise, there's a presence. There's something about the praise. I know this team works hard. They had a couple glitches this morning. It didn't grieve the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that right now, because he's been here in it the whole time. But when the people come together, and this team works hard, they practice, they're out here through the week, and then they're going through their click tracks. You didn't think I knew what that was. I don't. I just know what I've heard the name. I still don't know what it is. Sounds good, a click track. You know, all of that, so that when we come together, we can make his praise glorious. And there's something about lifted praise and beautiful praise and touching God praise that brings presence. Presence. And in his presence, the Bible says, there's fullness of joy. I love this. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, for where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. He's here with us. And then this in Psalm 22:3, it says he inhabits the praises of his people. God comes into the midst of the praise. His presence is in the praise. And the word inhabits also can mean enthroned. It can be translated, God is not just inhabiting our praises, he's actually enthroned in our praises. His government begins to rule. His kingdom power begins to flow as he is enthroned, as he sits upon his throne as God Almighty. And he does that in the midst of our praise. His presence. His presence. His people are here. I love this house. His praises are here. His presence is here. And family, when God's presence is here, his power is here. I love this house because his people are in it, his presence is in it, and his power is in it. When God is present, power to forgive. He forgives all of our iniquities. Power to heal. He heals all of our diseases. Power to deliver us from the pit. He redeems my life from destruction. Power to grant favor over our life. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Power to renew our dreams and our strength. He fills our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. That happens because of the power. The power. This, you know, I tell you, I love his house because it is a power place. It is a powerhouse. We're not just a religion. We're not just a credo. We're not just a group of people who believe the same thing. No, we're a people who experience the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there is a power to transform a life. There is a power to change a human being. There is a power to break chains and circumstances. We serve a living, risen, powerful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. It doesn't matter if you're religious or not. It doesn't matter if you're following this creed and that creed and wear your hair this way. It doesn't matter. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. And how many know that's what power does? Power transforms us into a new creation. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes it. I love the power that's here. I think I just said that twice without moving my lips. I love the power that is in this. And the gospel is here. The gospel, the preaching, the gospel is here. We preach the gospel. The power of God is here, and the preaching is here. And the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to anyone who will believe it. Oh, I thank God for this place because I have a heart for this place because his people are here, his presence is here, and his power is here. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends, and gave us the task of making others his friends also. His power is here. The power to transform lives is here. Lives are transformed in this place. His people are here. His presence is here. His praise is here. His preaching is here. His power is here. And lives are being transformed. Now, I've asked three friends to join me this morning for just a moment during my talk, because I want us to look, just if we could bring the stools up, I want us to hear about this power that transforms that's in this house. It's not a person that does, it's Jesus that does this. Jesus is the power that's here. And there's something about the power of Jesus coming on a person that transforms that person's life. And so I've asked three of my friends, Gary and Wayne and Dale, would you just quickly make your way up here? And I'm sure they're probably a little nervous, so give them a welcome. Thanks, Gary. Fantastic. This is part of our family. It's part of our church family. And in some ways, a little bit of a newer part of our church family. And this is Gary and Gary Evans. I met Gary and Wayne, actually, a couple months ago, I guess it was. Out here, we had our Meet the Pastors evening. And as I just began to hear these fellas, and then I met Dale at a meeting over at Mission Belinda's house. And as I began to hear their stories, I thought, Lord, that's what this is all about. It's about lives that are changed and transformed. And so, Gary, just take a couple of moments. I know we had some baptisms here not too long ago and heard some great testimonies, but tell us a little bit of what has transformed in your life in this place.
Well, thank you, Jack, for the opportunity to talk today. I'd like to talk about the power of forgiveness and how it changed my life. I came to this place probably early December last year. I attended Step In, and I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know where it was going to take me, but I must admit, after I walked out that first session, I knew that I was on the right path. I knew that I had a journey in front of me, but I knew that I was going to change within that journey. And I established or entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. But during that journey, through reading the scriptures, through attending the services here and the words that I took in, and through my connection group, I started to understand the power of forgiveness. Now, this was most important to me because for many years I was harbouring a deep-seated hatred and loathing of a person that caused the death of my niece and my young niece and young nephew. I knew that I couldn't go on with this inside me. So with God's grace, I was able to forgive this person.
Wow.
And it changed my life miraculously. I felt peace within myself. And, well, it's led me to here.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. Thank you. And Wayne, I know you shared with me 8 months ago. I think you said 8 months ago, your life was not so good. Tell us a little bit about what your life was like 8 months ago.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Thank you, Church. I was in a pretty bad state. I was a lot of depression, lot of drinking, a lot of drugs, pills, wouldn't get out of bed for days. Just was rock bottom. I was in the psych ward at Nepean Hospital. Just didn't know who I was, where I was. Just was a total mess, just absolute mess. And what changed me was a young lady that was a member of this church, chatting with her, and she was praying for me and praying for me, and I'm thinking, you know, like, what's she doing? And she said, you need to meet a guy that's coming to see me tomorrow. And that was Pastor Norm. I sat with him and we chatted and had coffee and he prayed, and I'm sort of thinking, well, you know, maybe this guy's, or, you know, something is there, that something, I'm not alone. There's someone that does care unconditionally, and it doesn't matter. You know, with prayer and just thinking about things and a lot more prayer. And so he, you know, the young lady gave me the address of the church, and I thought, well, okay. It after a couple of days of Pastor Norm visiting, you know, every second day, I just decided that I should go to this church. When I get out of this hospital, I should go to this church and see what happens, because I didn't believe that I could get out of that spot. Mm-hmm. And I did. I came here. I found God. I was saved. And here I am today.
Come on, brother. Come on. Wayne told me, he said, Jack, I was taking 60 pills a day and drinking them down with bottles of Jack. Not me. And he said, since he's been coming to, it used to be called Start In, now it's called Step In. He said that, Wayne told me, he said, I leave church now, and he said, I feel like I'm not even touching the ground as I head back out to Mulgoa. And that's the power of a transformed life right there. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, Dale, a little different story. Because actually, it's Dr. Dale, isn't it? You're a scientist.
Yes, I am a scientist.
You and your husband are both scientists. And doing research. You're working on research here in Australia, aren't you? And Dale's been a Christian for long before she came here, is my understanding, and her and her husband. But something in this place, in this house, has worked a transformation in your life, Dale. Share with us, please, a little bit about that.
Yeah, so as Pastor Jack said, I've been a Christian for a long time, and we were quite involved in our previous church before we came to Australia as well. So it's not a day and night change for me, but when I started thinking about the change that has happened since being in the house, I realized that it was still quite profound, because I don't know how many times I've heard or read about the Great Commission, that we are supposed to go and make disciples of people, and for some reason I just used to think that, you know, that's for the people who felt called to missions, you know, people willing to go to foreign countries and do that kind of thing. It's not relevant to me. You know, I was happy in my little bubble and, you know, praising God and doing what I was doing. But in coming to this church, this is going to sound a bit bad, but I didn't enjoy Mission Sundays, because I used to think that I wasn't getting anything out of it. And that's the whole focus there. I wasn't getting anything out of it for me. And by being in this church, and God has been so gracious because he's done it so gently, but I've had a total transformation of heart, where it's not about coming to church to see what I can get out of it, but to see what I can bring to it, how I can help make church better. And the most amazing thing is that in discovering that, in coming to church to see what I can do, God has blessed me so much. I've grown so much. I've gotten so much more out of church than I ever would have, even if it was the best and the coolest sermon ever that I've never heard in my life before, because God's changed my character. He's changed my outlook on life, and yeah, I just can't imagine not being in this church.
I love that. Wow. Thank you, guys. Come on, give them all a real big hand. Appreciate that. Thank you. I love this church because of the people that are in this church. And I love this church because of the presence of the Lord that's in this church. And I love this church because of the power that's here to transform lives. I love this house. Also, I wrote this thought down, and Dale really talked about this, and it just helps me lead right into my next point, and that is that I love the purpose and the priority of this house. I love that we exist to turn non-Christians into totally committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our mission statement. I hope that you would have that in your heart. I hope that you would know that. I hope that you would have that memorized, that we exist to turn non-Christians into totally committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our purpose here is to make his last command our first priority. Here is his last command, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I love the passion. I love the purpose. I love the priority that is in this house. Others. We are an outward-focused church. Amen. We don't just come to church for ourselves. No, the church is to be a blessing to the world. So we've come to be a part of that which is a blessing to the world. We are not an insular, self-looking, self-focused, self-seeking church. No, I love the heart that is in this house, the heart to serve, the heart to bless, the heart to care, the heart to lift, the heart to help, the heart to assist, the heart to aid, to support, the heart to cover, to protect. Others. We want this gospel to go to everyone, everywhere. We are totally committed to winning the lost and making disciples. I love the priority and I love the purpose of this house. I have a heart for the house because his people are here. His presence is here. His praise is here. His power is here. His purpose is here. His priority is here. And you know what? His provision is also here. I love this church because of the amazing generosity that is in this house. Unbelievable generous people. The most generous people ever. Your generous giving and open-hearted sharing is known around the world. You don't believe me, but I am telling you the truth. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Come on, church. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works. Imaginations, church, to be rich in good works. And how do we do good? And how do we become rich in good works? And here it is. Ready to give, willing to share. Ready to give, willing to share. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. You know, on top of your tithes and your offerings and your missions giving, which is known all over the world, I'm telling you right now, your giving, your generous heart, your missions giving in the world is unrivaled, it is unequaled, it is unparalleled. We give over half of our income to missions, to the poor. We do this, we give to the unloved, we give to the unfortunate, and we give to the underprivileged. Once a week, we give our tithes. Once a month, we give our missions. And once a year, we bring a special offering to this house as a heart for the house offering. And this happens to be that Sunday. And I love this house. And finally, I love this house because of the prophecies and the promises that have been spoken over this house. From Scripture, I find these promises in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, Imaginations Church, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You know what I love? I love that the greatest days of our church are not behind us, but in front of us. You know what I love? That we have not seen our greatest day yet as a church. We have not done our greatest deeds yet as a church. No, I'm grateful for everything that's behind us, and I'm grateful for everything that's in front of us right now. But I'm telling you right from my heart, I know this is true from prophecies and from promises in the scripture. We've not seen our best day yet. The best day is still to come. Thank God for what we've seen, but it's just been a part of the journey. And the best part of that journey is still in front of us. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto a perfect day. That's the path we're on. That's the path we're on. Not the path that's growing dimmer and older. No, but the path that's growing brighter and shining unto an even more perfect day. Ever brighter. Our future is brighter. I love our church. I love our church. I wrote these words down a long time ago in my journal. I wrote this. I love our church, our people, our leaders, our vision, our history, our destiny, our footprint so far in the world, our friends in ministry, our young people, our not-so-young people, our senior people, our children, our children's ministry, our property and facilities, our culture of honor, our outward focus, our heart for others, our generosity, our praise and our worship, our passion to make disciples, our school, our outreach through West Care, our ministry in local schools, our history, our story, our leadership culture, the opportunities that our church affords each of us, our daring heart, our willingness to take on huge projects, our boldness to attempt big things, our flexibility, our generations, and the championing of generations. I love our multiculturalism, our diversity. We really are a family doing life together. The good, the bad, the up and the down, we're together, we're better together. I love what we're doing in Darwin, in Melbourne, in Phoenix, and getting ready to do in Canberra. I love our connect groups, our encounters, our attitude of excellence, our servanthood, our character, our welcoming and friendly spirit, our loyalty, our long obedience in one direction. And I tell you this morning, my life has been changed in this house. My life has been impacted in this house, in the life of my children. And now the life of my grandchildren. And God has fed me and led me here. Faith spoke about the prophet, and the Lord took him to that brook. And there at that brook, those ravens came, and the Lord fed him there. He fed him there. And this is where the Lord has led me and fed me. And God has enriched my life here. And my best friends and closest friends on this planet are right here. And I have a heart for his house. And I have a heart for this house. Let's stand together.